Hi all, and welcome to the All Things Woo podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Ray. This is a place for spiritual beings as well as those that are spiritually curious to come together and share their experiences, talents, and beliefs. If you've ever been drawn to ghosts, aliens, crystals, mediums, psychics, or maybe you're just somebody that's outgrown the dogma of religion, then this is the place for you. I like to think of it as a place for all things woo. I myself am a lifelong spiritualist, a spiritual health and wellness life coach. I've been reading tarot for the past 14 years, and I also facilitate one-on-one breathwork sessions. I'm here to share my own experiences and bring my own take on spirituality, but I'll also be inviting other coaches, spiritualists, and experts on here to share info with you guys. And if you have a story that you want to share, then I want to give you the platform. So please reach out to me, and I would love to see if you can be on the show. Let's get started. Hello, all, and welcome back to another episode of All Things Woo. I'm your host, Taylor Ray. So today I am going to tell you guys just another unexplainable experience that I have had. This is like the little segment section that I am doing for the month of October. I'm just sharing spooky, unexplainable, quote unquote, ghost stories of things that I have experienced. But I am always open to hearing about your experiences. I want to hear about your crazy stories. I want people to come on and give me their weird, unexplainable horror stories or the like. So if you have a story and you would like it to be on the podcast, please send me an email at TaylorRayTalks@gmail.com and I will be in touch with you because I would love to put more of these out there. I think they're super fun. A little disclaimer before we begin. As I mentioned previously on the podcast episode about my experience with Ouija, I am not advocating for or against any certain practices. I am not saying that one is better than the other. I am not encouraging you to do anything. In this particular episode, I'm going to be talking about something that I experienced in high school and whether or not my boyfriend was actually possessed. So if that is not your jam, I totally understand. You do not need to listen to this episode. I'm also not getting into the arguments of, are demons real? Are angels real? Are spirits real? Is it just trapped energy? Is it just a spirit that hasn't moved on? There's a lot of debate about these kinds of things in the quote unquote spiritual community. And I don't pretend to hold all of the answers. I know that I have my own beliefs around it and everyone else has their own as well. So keep in mind, if you are liking, commenting, sharing, if you're reaching out to me on Instagram or in email, it is one of my absolute favorite things about doing the show is to hear your guys's experiences, what you guys thought about it, your feedback, all of that. I absolutely love it. It is my favorite part. However, I'm not going to engage in arguments or disagreements about anything. Thankfully, that hasn't happened yet, but I feel like this could be more sensitive content. So with that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm also very sorry if you can hear my cat in the background. I have a microphone, you guys. I ordered a microphone. It is a very fancy looking. It is sitting in its box, like 2 feet away from me. And I have yet to hook it up. So hopefully we will no longer have an issue with the sound quality. I just need to dedicate some time to figuring out some tech stuff. I would also like to add that in last week's episode about my experience with Ouija, I was calling the wooden piece. I was like the little wooden cursor on a Ouija board. It is not a cursor, you guys. It's a planchette. I don't know the correct way to pronounce it, but I knew the word and I completely blanked. So instead of redoing the recording or trying to edit out these big gaps and then just inserting the correct word, which I thought would sound really weird and automated, I just rolled with it. It's a planchette. Very, very articulate of me. I know. But here we are. Just to share stories and have a good time. So we're going to roll with it. So in today's episode, I'm going to be recounting a story for you guys from when I was in high school. I believe I had to be near the end of my freshman year or somewhere in the middle of my sophomore year. And I had a boyfriend that was a grade level above me. And he was an athlete. I'm not going to be sharing any names or locations or anything like that for the sake of privacy and just respecting what is going on. So I was a freshman or a sophomore in high school and I was dating this athlete. He was a wrestler, a baseball player, as well as a football player. And in the middle of one of his seasons, he had suffered a lot of concussions. The story starts off with head trauma. So of course, that leads to a little bit of disbelief, I think, did this stuff really happen the way that we think it happened, or was it a head injury, right? He's suffering from really bad concussions, and eventually he goes to wrestling practice, and he's in a wrestling, can't remember if it was a match or a practice, but there was like an illegal move. It knocked him over really hard, knocked him unconscious actually, and was told that he could not compete for the rest of the season. This was really hard on him. It was something that was very important to him. He was trying to get scouted for college, trying to build up a reputation, you know. So he took it really hard, as I think most high school athletes would, and was not allowed to participate. Not long after that, he was in recovery. He was still not allowed to participate in the wrestling matches or in practice. However, he was doing fine. The X amount of weeks had passed. He wasn't getting any weird symptoms, not having headaches, sleeping fine, all of these things that they were watching for post-concussion. And his parents were going out of town. So he had asked me, hey, I really want you to come over tonight. My parents are gone. So, you know, us being like 15, 16, I was like, ooh, no parents at home. Let's do it. And he's like, look, I really don't like being home alone. And I was like, what? Like, what a weird way to get me over here. You could have just said, my parents aren't here. It makes me think of that meme where it's like, come over, my parents aren't home. And the kid like yeets around on his scooter. But he was like, no, I don't like my house when I'm by myself. And I was like, what a weird comment. I love my house when I'm by myself. But okay. So his family and his siblings are gone. We were in the basement in their TV room where his room also was. And we hear the dogs going crazy upstairs, just freaking out, absolutely going nuts. He has two, I believe they were Rottweilers or Boxers. I think they were Boxers. Big dogs. You can hear them. You can hear them running around on the floor. You can hear them barking. You can hear wherever they are in the house. They are big dogs. So they're running around. They're freaking out. And we go upstairs and all of a sudden he hears a bang in his hallway. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Are your parents coming home? That's my biggest concern this whole time through the whole story. You're going to be like, really, Taylor? This is terrible of you. But it took me a really long time to get scared because I kept thinking your parents are going to come home and find us. And then we're really going to be in trouble. We're upstairs and we hear this banging in the hallway going down to like his parents' room and his sister's room. There was a bathroom there, you know. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I mean, they would have come in the front. We would have heard them. So we're looking. And he was from a Catholic family. And there's a crucifix on the floor. Didn't think anything of it at the time. We were like, oh, okay, cool. The dogs knocked it over. They must have banged on the wall. No big deal. We hang the crucifix back up. Let me tell you, later that day, falls off the wall again. I can't remember what you're doing. I think we're making pizza rolls in the kitchen. So up to this point, it's all really uneventful. We're hanging out. We keep hearing something fall in the hallway. We're assuming that this nail is getting loose in the drywall or that the dogs are knocking it over. It's nothing to think about at the time. As the night goes on, he finally tells me, he's like, you know, I've just been having really bad nightmares. And I, of course, attribute it to, well, you've had a concussion. You've had a lot going on. You know, maybe it's just a side effect of that. You did have head trauma. He's like, yeah, I guess I've just never had nightmares before. And in the year and a half that we had been together, I'd never heard him comment on a nightmare. So I was like, yeah, that is really weird, but makes absolute sense. We go downstairs at some point in the night to watch a movie. Well, in his basement, in his TV room, he has obviously the stairs that lead down into the basement. And it's like one of those little Harry Potter storage closets underneath. The dogs are going crazy around it. They're sniffing it. They're clawing at the door. They're banging on it. They're trying to get in. And I was like, what's in there? And he's like, oh, you know, just like extra Christmas decorations, Halloween decorations. My dad might have some like fishing equipment in there. And I was like, oh, well, has your dad gone fishing recently? Like maybe they smell fish or bait or something. He's like, no, I don't think so. I don't know. They're just being dogs. Like, all right, you know what? Maybe I'm starting to freak myself out now. But I had never seen his dogs act like that. And I was like, that just seems really weird to me. I always think a good sign of something being in your house or something going wrong is the animals. So I was trying not to think about it at the time, but I was kind of like, I really wish they would stop doing that. They're kind of making me antsy. Eventually we decide we're going to go to bed. So we go to lay down in his room and he falls asleep pretty instantly. Well, that closet also went into his bedroom. The stairs intersected like right in the middle. I'm trying to show you guys with my hands, even though you can't see me. But one end of the closet comes out in his bedroom and the other half comes out in their movie room. And the stairs are right there on the other side of his wall. As I'm laying there and he's sleeping, I hear the dogs starting to get rambunctious again. And they always slept outside of his door or, you know, outside of his sister's door or somebody's door. So with us being the only people home, I didn't think it was strange that they were outside of our door. However, all of a sudden, they start getting really antsy. I hear them kind of growling. I hear some barking. And then I hear them banging on the door, trying to get in. And I'm like, I wonder what just happened. Hear a bunch of bangs upstairs, and it sounds like footsteps. So I am, of course, freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to wake up. Your parents are here. He did not have a way to get out of his bedroom. I was like, your parents came home early. My shoes are upstairs. We're so dead. Your mom is going to go straight to my house and tell my mom that I was here. And I hear these footsteps and I hear banging upstairs. And it sounds like somebody is coming down the stairs. And I am freaking out. I'm shaking him. I'm trying to wake him up. I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. Your parents are home. Your parents are home. And they're coming to let you know that they're home. And I cannot wake him up. I can't wake him up. I can't get him to make a sound. He's not moaning. He's not groaning. There is absolutely nothing happening. He is complete dead weight. He's always been a tough sleeper, but I was like, what am I going to do? Where am I going to hide? I can't even fit under your bed. I'm freaking out. I think that my adolescent life is now over. And all at once, I hear the dogs running up the stairs. I hear the dogs running down the stairs, and it stops. Everything just stops. Nobody knocks on his door. The dogs have gone dead quiet. And I kid you not, you guys, that door under his stairs, that little Harry Potter closet, starts to jiggle. And instantly I'm like, no, fuck no, absolutely not. I am so out of here. I'm done. I'm going home. And I don't know what I'm going to do, but I am going home. Except I have to leave the bed to walk past that door, the little Harry Potter closet, to get to the bedroom door. To say that I was terrified is an absolute understatement. The fact that I did not scream bloody murder in that moment is amazing. I think I was so frozen with shock and fear that I did not know what to do. The shaking continues. Then all of a sudden the dogs are barking. They're banging on the bedroom door trying to get in. I want to run to the door to let the dogs in because let's have the dogs defend us. He is still passed out, completely immobile. And I make the decision in my head, okay, I'm going to make a run for it. I am going to leave him here. I'm a great girlfriend. I'm going to leave him here. I'm going to make a run for the door. I'm going to let the dogs in and I'm going up those stairs. His parents be damned. I don't care who is up there. And as I make this mental decision to get up off the bed, I kind of lift myself up and the bed shakes. And I know that sounds incredibly insane. If you have never had one of these experiences, of course, it sounds absolutely nuts. I kid you not, you guys, the bed starts shaking. I am screaming at this point. I am shaking him. I am screaming. I am yelling. I'm freaking out. I have no idea what I'm going to do. And all at once it stops. Everything stops. The entire room quiets, everything goes still, there is nothing happening. And within about 30 seconds, he wakes up. He's like, oh, hi. Wow, what are you doing up? Blah, blah, blah. Will you hand me my water bottle? As if nothing had happened. I am still freaking out. I'm still shaking. I'm like, what the hell was that? What is going on? Why are you like, I've been shaking you. I've been trying to wake you up. What is going on? He's like, oh, I don't know. I just had the weirdest dream. Like, you had a dream? Really? What was in your dream? Because I just lived through a real life nightmare. So he's like, oh, I don't know. It was something weird. My dogs were barking and I can't really remember it. Hello, sir. That was real life. That just happened in your house. What are we going to do? And he doesn't seem to believe me. He's like, that didn't happen. He's like, I would have woken up. He's like, our bed was shaking. Really, Taylor, this is ridiculous. Rolls over and goes back to sleep. I sat there completely frozen, too afraid to get up to try and make it up to the door. Not to mention the fact that he had drove, so I would have to walk myself home in the middle of the night and then explain to my mom why I was there when I was supposed to be at a friend's house. So ultimately, I don't leave the house that night, and I put something on TV, and I watch something on TV until like 7 a.m. when the light comes in the windows. He wakes up in the morning. He's like, hey, cool. Do you want to go to breakfast? Do you want to do something? I'm like, no, I want to go home. He's like, what is going on? I was like, I know you don't believe what happened last night, but I want to go home. Ultimately, he takes me home. After that initial incident, there were a couple of times over the next couple of weeks, I believe, where he would say that he was having nightmares at home, that he wasn't sleeping well, that he was getting really bad headaches. I had asked him at the time if he had told his parents. He's like, no, I'm not telling my parents because I don't want them to take me out of season. He was still hoping that he could wrestle near the end of the wrestling season. And he said that he didn't want to do or say anything that would jeopardize that because he was a junior and he really needed to get his stuff together for college sports. which I understood and I respected. And I wanted to believe that I had made up this entire situation in my head because it sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous to me now. If I hadn't have lived through it and done it, I would have thought that I was completely out of my mind. We had a couple of weeks of not a lot going on. I was after, I want to say 2 to 3 weeks after, I started getting messages from his cell phone one night. We had been on the phone. He was going to go eat dinner. Everything was fine. I start getting text messages, but they don't make any sense. They're jumbled. They're gibberish. I'm thinking he must have his phone in his pocket. Maybe, you know, left it open. No big deal. And they keep coming through and I can't make sense of them. So I finally texted him back and I was like, hey, is your phone in your pocket or whatever? Hoping that it would ding and let him know. And I get a text from his phone and it says, leave me alone. I was like, okay, like, are we fighting now? What's going on? And the next message is, I hate you. Okay, again, pretty out of the blue, but what's your deal? And they just keep coming. Leave me alone. I hate you. I never want to speak to you again. Don't contact me. Leave me be. And then the last one says, leave us alone. And I was like, what the hell? I felt like I hadn't done anything wrong, you know, and keep in mind, this story happens when I'm in high school. So instead of calling him and just being like, hey, what's going on? Young me was like, if that's how you want to be tonight, then fine. I'm not talking to you. A couple of hours go by and he calls and he's like, hey, you didn't call me after dinner. And I was like, you told me to leave you alone. He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, haha, very funny. Like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the text messages that you sent. Now, at this time, we didn't have like screenshotting or iPhones or anything. I think I had a Razor, like the little flip phones. It was pink, you know, so it wasn't an option to go through and be like, oh, let me screenshot this and show it to you. The best option was to leave it in my messages and show them the next day at school at lunch. And I was like, okay, whatever, like, don't do it again. We're not having this argument. It wasn't funny. He's like, I swear to you, I didn't send that. Why would I send that? He's like, do you want to pick a fight? And I was like, no, I thought you wanted to pick a fight. It was very strange. So I show him the next day at school. And he's like, look at my phone. I never sent those. I'm like, well, obviously you deleted them out of your side. And they're still showing in my phone from your phone. So yes, you did. He's like, no, Taylor, you don't understand. I have no memory of sending those. I didn't do that. Not worth talking about. We're going to leave it as it is. I don't think a whole lot of it. I believe it was sometime that week we have a match, a wrestling match at school that he is not allowed to participate in, but he wanted to go and watch. He wanted to go and support his team. So this is where things get weird. I had started telling some of our mutual friends, you know what, he's been acting really strange lately. I told my best friend about what had happened at his house that night. And everyone was like, okay, I think that you're, you know, over-exaggerating. You probably watched way too many horror movies. I have always been an absolute true crime and horror junkie. And so they were like, that's totally up your alley. That is something that would happen to you. It's in your head. And I was like, you know what, you guys must be right, because I can't think of any logical explanation that this would happen to me. Okay, we're like, we're all gonna go together, we're all gonna hang out together, we're gonna go to this wrestling match, life is gonna be fine, just don't make it weird. I was like, yeah, all right, you're right. So we're sitting in the bleachers, keep in mind, at a crowded high school in the middle of our gymnasium with how many people to watch this wrestling match. And he's really disappointed that he can't participate. He's in the bleachers. He's grumpy. He's moody. He finally is just like, this sucks. He's like, I'll be back. Goes out to the hallway, says he's going to get some water, whatever. We're like, okay, a little bit dramatic, but understandable. He doesn't come back. So I'm like, guys, he's just been really weird lately. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. And of course, one of our mutual friends was like, you know, he wants to be ready for football and baseball season. He wants to be able to play with us. This is understandable. You wouldn't understand because you don't play sports. It's a huge deal, which at the time I didn't. And I was like, well, you're right. That is something that I don't understand. So you guys must know better than I do. And I bypassed the weirdness of it all. I finally go out into the hallway to find him, but we had a wall of windows that led out into the courtyard that was in the middle of our building. And he's looking into these windows that are reflecting completely black. Almost like black mirrors. If you guys know anything about scrying, about spirits, there's a lot, like infinite amount of lore around mirrors. Mirrors being windows to the spirit world, mirrors being windows to trapped spirits, to demons, great scrying tools used for divination. It really just, there's so much around so many different things. I think about this now retrospectively, and I wonder, because we thought it was a weird coincidence at the time. I don't know what was happening. I don't hold any definitive answers, but he was standing, staring at himself in this mirror. It was a blacked out window, but staring at himself in this mirror, kind of swaying a little bit in his own world, completely unaware we were there. I'm calling his name. I'm walking over to him and he isn't responding. So I'm like, great, we are back to this. We're being dramatic. He doesn't want to talk to me. He's going to tell me to leave him alone. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm getting really tired of this. Like, this is very dramatic. I understand he's upset, but don't take it out on me. And I walk over to him and he doesn't respond. It's like the lights were on and nobody was home. I've never seen somebody zone out in that way. I didn't know what to do. And when I reached out to touch him, his head just, the way he jerked in absolute response, just his whole head jerked towards me. Right around this time, we have our friends are coming out to get us, to get both of us, wondering where are they? Are they okay? Probably felt like they were doing me a favor by coming out to get him with me. And they see him start smiling. And it was his smile, but it was a smile I'd never seen before. I'm at a loss for how to describe it. And he starts running backwards down the hallway to a set of stairs. You know, we had a set of like 8 to 10 stairs and a little mini landing, and then 8 to 10 stairs that would take you into the lower levels where like the locker rooms and stuff were. And he starts running himself backwards, like he's going to go off of these stairs. Thankfully, I wasn't by myself. There was our mutual friend who I'd been talking to earlier about, oh, this is so weird, I don't know what's going on. And another friend that we had that had come out with us. Now, the third friend, I had not talked to him about what had been going on because we weren't close like that. The boys all played sports and stuff together, but I didn't know him very well. So I was at an absolute loss of explaining anything. And I just chased after him. And I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Thankfully, the boys followed me, tried to catch him as he ran himself backwards off these stairs. We all fall. It's all a mess. And he gets up and he runs down the bottom stairs into the boys' locker room. Now, looking back at this story, I'm like, and you thought the best option for you was to follow him. His best friend is, of course, like, what the hell is going on? What are we going to do? Where do we go? I'm going after him. My instinct is, yes, let's go follow the crazy person into this boys' locker room where I'm not even supposed to be. And then our third friend is standing there like, what the fuck is happening, you guys? What is going on? As I mentioned, his best friend is already going down the hallway. So he's looking at me. He's like, Taylor, what are we going to do? What is happening here? And I'm like, I don't know. And he was like, this is just insane. I'm going to get somebody. And I'm like, don't, because they're not going to let him wrestle. And this story is so funny to me now because what? Because of wrestling? I don't know. I feel like I should have gone to somebody way sooner than I did, but I did not. Ultimately, we decide we're going to go down into this locker room where I shouldn't even be, because had I been caught in that locker room, I'm sure it would have looked absolutely inappropriate to have a girl and three guys in the dark boys' locker room while everyone is upstairs watching a wrestling match. But you know, priorities. So we go into this locker room and he is standing face in the corner in some shadows in the showers humming to himself. I had never heard this man hum ever in my life. And it was like a high pitched, a higher than his voice for sure, like a higher pitch humming sound as he's swaying in the corner with my eyes are tearing up as I tell you about it. And I'm getting chills because it was terrifying and it was surreal. And the whole time I was standing there, I was like, this is where I die. This is how people in horror movies die. This is where the white woman that chases after people the whole movie dies. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing in here? And I'm thinking this to myself. And he says, you're here for me. But it was a higher pitched voice. It wasn't his voice at all. And so I stop. I'm frozen. And his best friend is like, well, yeah, dude, you can't stay down here. We have to go. And he's like, no, we're staying. He's like, we're staying? We're not. We're going back upstairs. Like, we have to get out of here. Taylor can't be in here. We're not staying. And he's like, we are, which now at this point, I'm wondering, was he referring to us as the collective group of we are staying? Or was it with the weird text messages of leave us alone? We aren't staying. Multiple? I don't know. After we all try and convince him, we try to talk to him. His friend goes up, you know, pulls him on the shoulder, pulls him on the arm. He's like, we're going. And in the middle of this, it's so quick and it's so fluid. And my boyfriend at the time, it's very hard to tell the story without names. But he clenches his fist, looks like he's going to punch his friend, and instead punches the concrete wall. Hits this wall, and his whole hand is red, obviously, from the force of impact. So I'm like, great, fantastic. We have to get him upstairs. He He seems to calm down. He's kind of docile. He seems, again, zoned out. He doesn't seem like himself whatsoever. Things are looking real weird. We decide to take him upstairs to the wrestling coach and the trainers, the people that stay on to watch him. We're like, hey, he just hurt his hand. He's like, well, how did he hurt his hand? I'm like, I don't know. I went to go and get him. I think the trainer knew that something was up. And he's like, well, I don't see anything wrong with his hand. He was holding it. He's like, does this hurt? And my boyfriend was like, no. He's like, do you feel any pain? No. Really detached, quiet answers. He was like, look, I know that you feel bad about not being in the event tonight, but it's for your safety. It's for the better. He's like, if you're curing injuries on your time off, like, we need to talk about it. He was like, okay. Completely detached from his body, it seemed like. And he was like, okay, guys, well, there's nothing wrong with his hand. So go ahead, go watch the game. Do you call it a game? Go watch the match. So he's talking to us. He's like, there's nothing wrong with his hand. Go watch the match. Ultimately, we decide it was me, my boyfriend, and his best friend. And we decided it's time to go now. It's definitely time to go. I have a curfew and tonight was way too weird and what just happened. And we obviously, his best friend and I, feel the need to talk without anybody there, without an entire gymnasium of people. So we're like, you know what? We really need to go home. We all get in the car. My boyfriend at the time was the only one with a car or a license. So he was going to take us home. They lived on the same street. So it was the best choice to take me home first. I also had the strictest curfew out of everybody. So we're driving home and he seems to be himself again. He's like, oh man, my hand really hurts. And we're like, do you think, like, what the hell was that? What is happening? He's like, I don't know, you guys. My hand is really hurting. And he's picking it up and he's massaging it. And he also drove a stick shift. So he's like, it's just, oh my God, like, I don't feel like I can move this. Like, it's hard for me to drive, to the point where he asks his friend to shift the car for him. So we get to my house and we pull up in the front and I'm like, all right, everybody be quiet. We're going to sit and talk in the car because please, at all costs, do not wake my mom up because I'm 5 minutes past curfew at this point. We're sitting there and we're like, what was going on with you? What's happening? He's like, guys, I don't remember that. And now, you know, this is the second time that this has happened on top of the text messages. And I'm just fed up. I'm telling him, this is not fun. This isn't funny. You're scaring me. I'm not going to keep putting up with this. Like, whatever joke the two of you are doing, you got me. It sounds very similar to that event with my brother. I have always, always, always believed in other worlds, dimensions, spirits, things like that from a young age, which probably comes from, you know, some of the clairsentience and clairaudience. But this was nothing I had ever seen before. It's nothing that I've ever really heard about. I had never formally, you know, read any actual books, done any real formal research at this point in time. It was something that was really frowned upon by my mom. So I was convinced that there was absolutely no explanation for this. And they had to be messing with me. He's holding his hand and massaging his hand at this point. And he's like, this hurts so bad. You guys, look in the car light, you know, those little dingy overhead lights. His hand is like completely tightened. It looks like, well, his pinky finger is broken. It's sitting at a weird angle. It's red and it's swollen. And we were like, that's it. We're done. We have to go and tell your parents. We have to go and tell somebody because not 15 minutes ago when we talked to the trainer, your hand was fine. And he's like, guys, we never talked to the trainer. So he's freaking out, thinking that he has these big gaps in his memory. And we are freaking out as witnesses that have seen this absolute nonsense. I don't have a better word for it. It was nonsense. It was unreal. Relaying the story even now, I'm like, I have no idea what really was happening at this point in time. We're arguing in the car and his friend was like, bro, your eyes didn't even look like your eyes. And he's like, what does that mean? He's like, they were dark. They were almost, he's like, they just didn't look like you. They were almost black. They were really dark. Your pupils were huge. And of course I'm like, okay, very Hollywood, very movie like that they would black the eyes out. Like, is this an episode of Supernatural? No. And so I hadn't believed him. So my boyfriend at the time, again, hard without names, he moves his rear view mirror to look into the mirror and his body goes to jello, absolute jello within like 30 seconds. He's like, no, my eyes are fine. My eyes are fine. And as soon as he makes eye contact with himself in this mirror, his body is jello. He drove a small two-door car where we had to pull the seats forward to put people in the back. So for him to just completely melt into jelly and be halfway on the floor, half in his seat and half on the floor, was impressive. I was like, what is happening? And we're shaking him and we're shaking him and he picks his head up and he bolts out of the car. He's just gone down my street into a bike path. And this wasn't like a well-lit park bike path that had lights all the way. It was like a four-way path that went to a bike path that backed up to people's backyards. They had low rising fences. There was a little bit of a ditch and some irrigation that went back there. And if you went straight, you could see the other neighborhood that it opened up to. And you could see, you know, the street lights in the distance and stuff. But the actual bike path itself was not lit unless it was from somebody's patio lights. I had never thought of it as a scary place before, but he just takes off running down the bike path. And I'm like, what are we going to do? And his friend is in the car. He's like, no, I'm done. I'm going home. I'm calling my mom. I'm getting picked up. I am not doing this. I'm like, what are we going to do? Are we going to go after him? He's like, you go after him. I'm done. I'm like, okay, great. Well, it's my boyfriend. I guess I'll go after him. Again, if I was a character in a horror show, I would have died. I'm trying to get out of the car. I can't get out of the car. I can't push his seat while I'm in the back. It takes me a whole minute to maneuver it. And I go down the bike path and I'm like, what is happening? I'm calling for him and he is standing directly in the middle of the bike path. In my mind, I think at this point, I was just under the impression that this was the most elaborate prank that I'd ever been a part of. And I was pissed. So I stalked down the bike path, getting real ready to just tell him off, to tell him that we are done, that this stuff is insane. It's not something that I want to be a part of. Our relationship is over. I'm walking down this path and he's just standing there, head kind of tipped down, just waiting for me. And he's missing a shoe. He has at some point during his running or his takeoff has lost his shoe. I'm like, this is enough. I am going home. Like, answer me and tell me what is going on right now or we are through. And he doesn't pick his head up. Like, it was that high pitched, not his voice. And he says, we're not nearly done. And I was like, oh, yes, we are, sir. Let me tell you, I am a strong, independent woman. Don't need this mess. And really at the time that's how I was doing it mentally, but I was very afraid at that point because he wasn't dropping this act. He tells me, we're not done. And I was like, we're done. I can't do this. This is insane. This is the longest prank I've ever been a part of. And I'm scared now. At this point, I'm scared. And he kind of makes this dramatic, like, sniffing sound, like, you don't smell scared. I was like, what the hell? This is gross. This is cheesy. This is so many different things. And he licks my cheek. It was not like any experience I had ever had. And it was, did not feel like him. It felt very predatory. And at that point, I was terrified. And he was like, you don't taste that scared either. He was like, I know why he picked you. And I was like, what is happening? You know why he picked me. And we just stood there for a while. I didn't know what to do. I started running through my mind of if he were to get violent, because I didn't know what to think. If he were to get violent with me, if he were upset with me, if he was going to hit me, if I was only about 5 houses away from my house, but I was standing in the middle of this bike path, if I screamed, would anybody hear me? If I made a run for it, was he going to catch me? And then I was weighing my pros and cons of, well, he only has one shoe, but he's an athlete and I am not. I don't know if I can make it. How far am I going to get? And then I was thinking, if I could just get to the road back out of the mouth of the bike path, our friend would see us. We would be completely fine. Thankfully, we stood there for a minute and his friend did come down the bike path and he was on the phone with his parents, with my boyfriend's parents. He did call them. They were actually very cool, all things considered. We just kept in there. He stayed in the bike path. He stood standing there, just kind of swaying. And we stood down at the mouth of the bike path waiting for his parents. His mom pulled up, was absolutely not thrilled. Was asking me about what happened. And we were trying to tell him, we were like, his eyes were weird. He was looking into mirrors and all of this has happened. He's been saying that he's seeing stuff in your house. He's been having these nightmares. And of course, they think that we've been out drinking, that we've been out smoking, that we took something. And we hadn't. We genuinely hadn't. There was no explanation for what was happening. So they thankfully didn't wake my mother up. All blessings, you guys. That was the highlight of the night. Nobody woke my mom up to let her know of all this craziness that was happening. So I went inside, his best friend drove his car home and he got into the car with his mom. I didn't get a ton of updates that night. They were, you know, his parents were freaking out. His friend was staying there. They were just trying to get the story and the facts straight as any adults would. I think it made perfect sense at the time. Our mutual friend did say that he started zoning out in the bedroom. He had gone over to the TV to turn stuff on and he had a PlayStation. And I can't remember which model. I think it was the PS3, 4. I don't know. But it was all black. It was black and shiny on the top. He said that he had a moment where he was leaning over to turn the PlayStation on, that he was looking in this reflection and he started swaying and kind of zoning out. And our mutual friend kind of stood up and was like, hey, I got it. Like, why don't you go sit down? I'll do it. And moved him out of the way, physically moved him away from any reflective surface. And he said that it seemed to work. I was not there for that. I don't know. I was getting text messages from our friend to update me, pretty anxious about everything, but I didn't have any real answers. Ultimately, his parents decided that it would be best to take him to the hospital, keep him under observation for a few days. They were worried that he was having seizures, that he had head trauma from these concussions, that they were worried about a whole slew of medical issues going on that were left undiagnosed, which at the time made absolute sense. He had had a history of these brain injuries and all kinds of things. The problem was that he stayed in there. I want to say it was a full 2 weeks. I believe it was a full 2 weeks. And that friend that we had had that night at the wrestling match was, hey, where is he? What's going on? We don't know. Well, where is he? He's just getting, you know, scans and stuff done. And he was like, so what's the deal? He's having seizures. Does he have like a brain tumor? What is it? The problem is that they couldn't find anything. Nothing. There was no swelling. There was no brain bleeding. There were no tumors. There was no seizures. They couldn't induce anything. Everything was normal. The entire time that he was in that hospital, absolutely everything was normal. He recounted everything as a gap in his memory. And so I know there was a period of time where his parents were extremely upset with all of us, as they should have been, about why didn't you come to us after the first incident? Why didn't you tell us this had been going on? What's going on? If you guys were doing drugs, you needed to tell us. But there was nothing in any of his report. I mean, we hadn't been doing drugs. There was nothing there to shed any light on the situation. It was an incredibly scary time for everyone. And while he was in there, he was like, I'm so sorry for scaring you. I really don't remember anything that had gone on. I don't remember this. And I was like, I have these messages. I was there. It's like when we were at your house, that's where this all started. And he's like, there's nothing in my house, Taylor. Like, why would you say such a thing? I just want to go home and go back to school. Like, I just want to return to some normalcy, which was a really logical and fair request of him. So we all agreed collectively, like our really close group of friends, there was like 5 of us, and we all collectively agreed, yes, we're not going to bring this up. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We don't need to give any real details to anybody else. We're just going to say that you had to have some scans and stuff done for your concussion, make sure you were fit to go back. That was the story that we stuck with for a while. A couple of weeks later, we were all at my best friend's house. She had her bedroom upstairs. This does become relevant, but it was a long set of stairs and her parents were in the basement. So her and her brother upstairs, the middle floor had like a living room and a kitchen, a bathroom, you know, traditional stuff. And then her parents, they converted the entire basement into the master suite. So it always felt like we had the whole house to ourselves when we stayed there. So we were all there one night, all hanging out. Her older brother was there. We were playing games, we were eating food, we were watching movies. All of a sudden, he gets up and he runs up the stairs. Think like anime super run with the arms out behind your back, kind of run up the stairs. And instantly, me and his best friend are sitting there and they're like, oh my God, is he really doing this again? Is he pulling this again? Is this what is happening again? It can't be. Like, obviously, he knows if he was pranking us. Like, the gig is up. Whoa. So I'm like, this is fantastic. I stayed with this absolute psycho who thinks that this is a game. I'm going to have to tell my mom. I'm going to break up with my boyfriend. This is just great. So we follow him up the stairs and he is standing in her shower, water off, behind the curtains. The curtains are closed, everything. He's standing in her shower with his face in the corner. Ultimately, we get him out of the shower. He's running down the stairs. He runs into the backyard. And while he's standing there, his eyes don't even look like his eyes. They're so dark. He is growling at nothing, facing away from us, facing a corner by the fence in the yard. And her older brother is there this time. And he's like, absolutely not. He had heard the stories from the two of us. And he was like, Taylor, I don't know what to tell you. Your boyfriend's an absolute psycho. What he saw, he was the one that went over and turned him around. And whatever he saw, he was like, absolutely not. He was like, go and get mom and dad. They were very Catholic. And when her parents came up, all they did was they said a lot of prayers. That is what they were doing. They were praying over him. They were calling his parents. His mom came. They were freaking out. They were like, you have to stay away from him. You have to be done now until he gets serious help. You guys, like, we all just need to put some space between this. Like, whatever is happening to him is obviously not medical. It was really terrifying. And it was also in some way reassuring to me, which sounds terrible to say, but it was reassuring to me to know that there was an entire household of people who just saw what I saw, that it wasn't just two of us. And it wasn't just me who had seen more of it. It wasn't just, oh, maybe this can be explained away. There was an entire household of people that had seen it, including adults. When his mom came, she was upset. She was crying, which I attributed to, of course, you want to know what's wrong with your son. You want to know what's going on with your baby. But it didn't stop. It was my best friend's mom that suggested, you know, this, what he was saying, the stuff that he's doing. Have you ever, they were very gentle about it. They were a lot more, they had a lot more tact than I had, or that I have now relaying the story. But they had asked more or less, have you ever considered taking him to a priest? Have you ever considered taking him somewhere? And at that, she just absolutely broke down. She broke down. She was ugly crying. There was snot, there was tears. And she was like, I knew there was something wrong. I knew this. I heard it. I felt it. And she's crying. And we're like, what did you hear? What did you know? And she's like, we knew he came back. I was like, what is we knew he came back. What is happening? I mean, she's like, we knew he came back. I knew. I told his dad. I knew there was something in that house. I saw it when I moved in. I knew that it was there. We had our house blessed. And at this point, I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm tearing up and shaking right now just recalling it. But I'm to have her so upset and to hear her say, I knew that something was wrong and I didn't do anything, was so sad. It was so heartbreaking. But it was also, what are we really talking about now? What is really going on? I wasn't there in person when he supposedly went to see a priest. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's what they just told people. Again, with this story, I can only tell you what I was there for, and I was present for all of that. I was not present when he supposedly went to a priest with his mom against his dad's wishes. And whatever happened, I asked him multiple times after that, you know, what happened? How did it go? And he was like, I don't know. I don't remember. He's like, I felt so sick and I felt so tired and I didn't feel good. He wasn't in school the next couple of days. When we did finally see him again, he was really pale. He had lost a lot of weight. His eyes were really bloodshot. It looked like he had been through hell and back. He had a couple of bruises, but nothing. You know, in the movies during exorcisms, they talk about chaining you up and tying you down and doing all these things so that you don't hurt yourself. And I don't know if that's really how it went. I don't know if that's what happened. We did break up shortly after that, not due to that. Oh, well, and probably added some stress. But we did break up shortly after that. So I never pried too much into what actually happened. I really didn't think it was any of my business anymore. And not only that, but, you know, it was a high school breakup. It was ugly. We never got to get to the bottom of this. We never got to talk about what actually happened. Did you go see a priest? Was there an exorcism? What was going on? And we didn't keep a lot of contact after that. I have seen him, you know, on Facebook and stuff since. He seems pretty normal. He went to college and he played some sports and he now has a job, as most adults do, and it seems okay. I have fought the urge on multiple occasions to be like, hey, I know it was a while ago, but what really happened with that? What actually went on? But I do wonder now, was there something truly in that house that I've heard the theory that maybe he was more susceptible and more open to spirits and persuasion or possession because he was having head trauma, because he wasn't in a great state of mind. I've heard and considered the theory that it was something that was there and it just saw an opportunity. The way that his mom reacted really threw me for a loop because they stayed in that house as far as I know. She did say something about, you know, blessing it and having people over. That's why they have the crucifixes, and she knew, but she thought it was gone. So I don't know. Maybe it was a financial thing. Maybe they couldn't afford to just pick up and move. I have no idea. I don't have answers to these. It is just one of those crazy stories that I have seen firsthand that I don't have an explanation for. So I would love to hear your guys' feedback, just what you think. As always, if you like the podcast and you are listening on Apple, likes and comments and feedback would be absolutely appreciated. Was he possessed? Was it a teenager that was looking for attention and a prank, or was it something more? I don't know. I can't wait to hear. On our next episode, I am going to launch another episode this week. It is going to launch right on Halloween. And this is kind of the big buildup. I'm going to tell you guys about my account of when we lived in a haunted house. So hopefully you guys will enjoy it. I hope you guys enjoyed today. As always, I can't wait to see you guys and connect with you guys. And I will see you next time.